far, pollsters and pundits are looking at the large early voting numbers as one indication of the energy on the left. And on the other side, President Donald Trump has been hitting the campaign trail hard to keep his base fired up.
And these are also the reasons why it's so important for each of you, each one, to get out and vote. Get out and vote. Now, if you're going to vote Democrat, don't bother.
President Trump's not on the ballot, and so the question is, will the enthusiasm at his rallies translate to Republicans up for election this year? President certainly hopes so. He's already held more than a dozen rallies this month, including one earlier this week in Wisconsin, a state he won by a single point in 2016.
He's a great guy. Scott's opponent is an extreme liberal named Tony Evers.
Republican Governor Scott Walker is in a tight race against Wisconsin school superintendent Tony Evers.
No good. No good. So don't wait. Vote early for Scott Walker. Tremendous guy.
And whatever the outcome of the election this fall, you can bet people will look to it as a bellwether for 2020. I spoke with Craig Gilbert, the Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to see if Trump's visits will energize those 2016 voters to turn out for Scott Walker.
I've been thinking about, you know, the costs and benefits of a Trump visit. And obviously, it makes a certain amount of sense for him not to go to the suburbs of Milwaukee, not to go to Madison or Milwaukee, but to go to a place like Wausau where he did well in 2016. But even in a place like Wausau, even in a place like central Wisconsin, when you look at his polling numbers, it's kind of 50-50. And this is, again, a more conservative-leaning rural part of the state. So he's not. It's not like he's more popular than Scott Walker in these places, but I guess the thinking is that if he can mobilize a certain group of Republican conservative voters, and I've talked to some people like this on the campaign trail that are pro-Trump and they're maybe a little tepid on Walker, then maybe that's worth it.
What do you see as the reason that Trump's overall approval rating is not as high in Wisconsin as it was as we were moving into the 2016 election and right after the 2016 election?
Wisconsin is one of those states where Trump's numbers were never very good. And clearly, the difference in Wisconsin was the voters that didn't like either candidate, meaning Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, broke pretty decisively for Donald Trump at the end. So there were always a lot of Trump voters that were very conflicted and had mixed feelings. And in some cases, they just disliked Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump. So you've seen his numbers bounce around a little bit. I think his, you know, his negatives aren't that much different than they were when he won that election. But now, obviously, it's a different context because we're talking about a midterm election where he's not on the ballot. His numbers are got a little bit better, for example, in the last big statewide poll. They're still in the 40s. They've kind of bounced around from the low 40s to the mid 40s. But by any poll, you'd have to say that, you know, Scott Walker is a little more popular than Donald Trump or a little less unpopular than Donald Trump. So again, there's sort of that mystery of what Trump does for Walker.
A lot of what I heard after the 2016 election about Wisconsin was you had two things going on. One, a very energized Republican base, especially small town rural, that we hadn't really paid much attention to because we spend so much time thinking about Milwaukee and Madison and the area around Milwaukee. But the second was that liberal voters, voters of color, either stayed home or they cast a third party ballot. Do you think, first of all, is that a fair assessment of 2016?
Well, I think Wisconsin is one of those places where you can find examples of great Democratic turnout and soft Democratic turnout. And the classic contrast would be kind of the Madison area where everybody votes and everybody's going to vote this fall and they're going to vote. It just gets bluer and bigger all the time and it's overwhelmingly Democratic and nobody thinks that that's not going to happen. Milwaukee is a much bigger question mark because you have a bigger minority population and Milwaukee has a history of dropping off in midterm elections in terms of turnout. And that mattered, you know, definitely mattered in 2016. I mean, the big change statewide was the small towns. I mean, there's sort of two kinds of communities there. And that swing was so decisive and so much the story of the 2016 election. But you've got the Republican small towns and then you got the swingy small towns. And there were like more than 500 communities in Wisconsin that voted for Obama in 2012 and voted for Trump in 2016. So those places, there is an element there of just swinginess.
You know, one of the things, Craig, that I remember looking at right after the election was suburban Milwaukee, Waukesha County, which is traditional Republican mm-hmm. area. But this was the kind of place where we had heard stories, I'm sure you'd written many of them, about these conflicted suburban voters, suburban women who were upset about the Access Hollywood tape. And Trump did not do as well in Waukesha as Mitt Romney did, but Hillary Clinton didn't do any better than Obama did. Do you think that's changing? Now, we hear so much now about suburban women, especially right. in these more affluent areas. Do you expect to see that Waukesha behaves differently this year?
Well, this is a fascinating question because there's cross currents, really interesting cross currents there, because, you know, the suburbs in Milwaukee are a little different than the suburbs in a lot of other cities. Its size, they're pretty Republican. They have a real and again, we're talking about in some many cases college educated voters, higher income voters. They do have this very Republican history that's unusual in a national context. And so here comes Donald Trump, and they didn't like him in the primary. They kind of underperformed for him in the general election. But at the same time, again, that's been the heart of Walker's strength in his election. So you got Walker pulling them one way, Trump pulling them another way. And I will be very interested to look at those numbers in the midterm elections because, again, Trump's not on the ballot. But again, there are people that clearly Republicans that have qualms about Trump. At the same time, there's like this partisan pull in a lot of these communities. And they're very active, politically engaged, and they have this history of just jumping into these kind of political wars with both feet. And if Republicans want to try to offset, you know, the pretty big numbers that are going to come out of Madison and Dane County, they need a pretty robust vote out of these outer Republican suburbs of Milwaukee.
So, Craig, all that being said, is there a Trump effect in this election?
Well, it's there, but it's not something that the candidates are spending all their time talking about. I mean, even the Democrats, I think they see it as something that's a given. And so they don't need to organize their TV ads around trying to tie Scott Walker to Donald Trump. And also, and by the same token, you know, Scott Walker's always had this kind of awkward relationship with Trump. They ran against each other. Trump would beat up on Walker, but Walker is very aware that Trump is popular with Republican voters. So whenever he kind of distances himself from a Trump policy, he does that very carefully. So yeah, it's there. It is the elephant in the room in a lot of ways.
Craig Gilbert, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
The Takeaway will be right back. Want to bring us with you on the go? Subscribe to The Takeaway as a podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.